Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language. Condoms aren't just for kids anymore, Grandma or Dad. So if you're dating, you better be packing protection, as the rates of STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, including AIDS, are really up there among sexually active Americans ages 45 to 64. Our guest is knowingly nodding his head, even though he's about 3,000 miles away. He's Dr. Robin Sawyer, PhD, an associate professor and associate chair in the Department of Behavioral and Community Health at the University of Maryland in College Park, Maryland. Dr. Sawyer, welcome to Body Language.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
You teach courses in human sexuality at the University of Maryland. In fact, I saw you on an episode of the Today Show. Hey, standing room only. You're packing them in there. Why is the course so popular?
Well, I think obviously the course sells itself. There are not many people who aren't interested in sex in some way, shape, or form. It's an elective course for all the sort of I wouldn't want to say boring, but let's just say more rigorous majors like business and biology. So a lot of kids need a kind of a little bit of respite and want to know about the real world stuff.
Are your young students ever surprised that their parents are still getting it on, if you'll pardon the expression?
Absolutely.
Even at advanced postmenopausal ages like 45 to 64? Shocking.
Yes, I think the notion is, well, they've had me, why are they still having sex? So I make the point to them, how many of you who are having sex are trying to create babies? And that would be none. So why shouldn't your parents keep having sex?
You know,
it grosses them out. There's no question about that.
Speaking of having babies, and we'll get into the New York Times article that inspired this conversation entitled, "Why Are Boomers Getting STDs?" You know, I'm on the mailing list for the Guttmacher Institute. I'm sure you're familiar with their work.
Yes.
We have hit the tipping point in the American culture. Over half of children born today are born to women who are not married. And by the way, being married is not a prerequisite for getting pregnant. Apparently,
right. It
occurs despite that marriage license. What are your thoughts about the culture and fertility issues in general? Are we actually making any progress, Doctor?
Well, I think we've come to the point where single parenthood is not a negative stigma. We have, you know, fairly topical shows on MTV, 16 and Pregnant, and which my students love to watch. I think they think, you know, it's like a train wreck that I'm not in, so
yeah.
I'm willing to watch that. But
it's like a foreign movie.
Yes, it is. It's like, wow, look at those people, usually in some rural spot having a terrible time, but it's not me, so that's okay. I think the stigma around the issue of having children without being in a marriage or even in a solid relationship has really decreased to the point where it's not such an awful thing according to society, and that some women are quite happy to have children but don't necessarily want a man around all the time. So I think that is a real generational shift over the last couple of generations. There's no question about that.
Our conversation was inspired by an article in the New York Times, as I mentioned earlier, "Why Are Boomers Getting STDs?" And the statistics are rather shocking, and as you said at the end of the article, and I'll let you fill after this, if you're not using a condom, sounds a little like something a couple of teenagers in a car might do. Well, maybe that's because it is. When they're 65, you said, you think, hey, these folks should know better. Do they?
That's right, and they don't necessarily know better. And I think the analogy towards teenagers is kind of an accurate one. It doesn't even enter their minds that necessarily they should be using some form of protection. And I think that's partly because all this information about STIs and HIV has been bombarded amongst teenagers in high school and middle school. But think about it. Those folks who are 55, 60, 65 today, where were they in the advent of the AIDS epidemic in the early 80s? They were probably ensconced in a marriage, had younger children, and were not kind of playing away from home, as we like to call it. But now you've got a 50 to 60% divorce rate, so you've got some pretty large numbers of single folks. In fact, that age group is pretty unaware of some of the information. I mean, most women, regardless of age, have zero symptoms for any STIs. So they're not even going to know they've got an infection when they have sex with good old Frank. And so I think there's a lack of awareness based on familial situations or singlehood or late singlehood, if you like, amongst this age group.
Our guest is Dr. Robin Sawyer, PhD, an associate professor and associate chair in the Department of Behavioral and Community Health at the University of Maryland in beautiful College Park. I was surprised by the New York Times article that discussed this population at risk, they suggested that the thinning of the lining of the vagina and loss of lubrication make tiny abrasions more likely, creating entry points for viruses. And the change in vaginal pH after menopause may also increase risk too. Well, I learned something there. What did I learn?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Not only are folks at risk because they're not using condoms, but physical changes in later adulthood exacerbate the issue. And women are always at higher risk than males for getting an STI because males ejaculate into females, not vice versa. And so when women's vaginal walls start to thin, lack of estrogen, perhaps gone through menopause, produces the result that they lubricate less, there's more friction, and therefore women in particular are more likely to become infected, even more likely than they would have done 25, 30 years ago. And then once they become infected, if we look at, we haven't even talked about HIV. HIV/AIDS, nearly a third of all people in the U.S. living with HIV/AIDS are over 50 years of age. And to get that disease at an earlier, at a later age when your immune system is pretty compromised simply by age, folks really move very fast from being HIV positive to developing symptoms of AIDS very much more quickly than a younger person. So it's really a double whammy. You're more likely to get something, and when you get something, it's more likely to be worse.
Is it time to take sex education on the road, perhaps put it on HBO and appeal to an older audience with the hope that they will understand many of the issues that your students now do?
I think it is. I mean, I think there's no question, given the baby boomer numbers and the number of folks who are actually between, you know, 45 to 65, 70.
And by the way, sometimes this has been called the Viagra generation because drugs like Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra have made intercourse possible for men who were previously unable to perform.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing. Is like, is that a blessing or is it a curse?
I guess it depends which side you're on.
And I think a lot of women, I've seen some sort of like agony aunt columns like, man, when will this never end? Will they ever stop? Because the downside for poor women is that once they go through menopause, many of them experience a drop in testosterone levels and a decrease in libido. So many of them will think that the advent of Viagra is a curse. On the other hand, not all women experience that to that extent, but Viagra certainly has made sexual functioning more common for older males, and so again, that just adds to that issue. But older adults need an education in this, but here's the issue. In the United States, we're so freaked out about sex as a subject anyway that we can barely gabble out the facts to adolescents, and then when we start talking about, well, you know, granny and grandpa need that education, good luck with that in some settings.
That's a fascinating perspective, and that's one of the reasons that we're here today on Body Language discussing essentially sex education for people ages 45 to 64 who may be thrown into the deep end of the dating pool later in life after perhaps they are now widows or after a long relationship or so. It's a much different world, isn't it?
There's so much evidence out there. If you look at some of the internet dating sites, Match.com, one of the fastest growing segments is the site that they have for people over 50, which again demonstrates, A, the need for some form of education, because it's quite simple that older adults are now single in greater numbers than ever before. And this is a generation that grew up with Woodstock and drugs in the 60s. This isn't a generation that's going to sit on the porch playing shuffleboard.
No, so they're going to jump in the sack, actually.
They are going to jump in the sack, but they have not become attuned to the fact that the risks that they may have experienced at 17 are still alive and well at 67.
Right, and these are not the days when a simple shot of penicillin will resolve STD issues. Our guest has been Dr. Robin Sawyer, PhD, an associate professor and associate chair in the Department of Behavioral and Community Health at the University of Maryland. Dr. Sawyer, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language.